sports. Spoken here.
Right now, Adam Hoge, Jared Payton, Mark Carmen.
The Beat is on.
You're 100% right.
This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. Cubs panic till 6, at least from this microphone, for a good portion of it. I'm Mark Carmen. I'm very upset. Harry Tynowitz is here. Jared Payton's upset. I'm not upset. I'm not upset about the Cubs, but gentlemen.
Uh-oh.
I need a little to start the show here. I need a little therapy.
Oh no! Did you go out with a girl again?
No, that was not it.
That's funny.
That could have been it, but that's not it. If you were listening to the show yesterday, perhaps the station periodically over the last couple of weeks here, you may know that I was in a Dancing with the Stars competition last night. Mary Vandeveld, who's going to join us in a moment here, doing the traffic. The way she does it on the Steve Cochran show. She got me involved after everybody at the station said no. I was a little late to getting the dance lessons going, Harry, Jarrett. But then I dialed in. I was there. I was making the 1 hour and 15 minute drive out to Burr Ridge. I was looking in the eye of dance instructor Brittany. I was doing everything I could to get myself up to speed. That's not exactly true, but I was, at least when I was at the lesson, I was paying attention. And then yesterday, a Friday night, we had the dress rehearsal, and I was terrible. And I said, this can't happen. I'm going to practice all day long Saturday. And there I was on Dempster Avenue getting the oil change, but doing my steps, JP. I mean, I was in there. I was working it. And I had it down. I mean, it was perfected. And then the song started, and I was going, and it was working. But then I think I like tried to get the crowd involved or something, and I completely lost myself. And it just went straight downhill.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Straight into the toilet. And I to be honest, like this, I'm dealing with remorse. I'm dealing with loss, and I'd like to have you guys, people that have gone for things, like where you really put yourself out there, where you didn't sit on the sideline, and then you gotta handle the failure. Like that's where I'm at right now. I don't even know if I can do the show today. Mary Vandeveld, by the way, watched this whole thing. She was a judge. She gave me a 9. I deserved a...
What? She gave you a 9?
She gave me a 9.
Is she Russian?
She definitely... Well, I said, Mary, if I don't get a 10, I'm going to kill you. And she gave me a 9. But Mary, what did I... Thank you for joining us, by the way, Mary. What did I really deserve?
Well, considering we only had 8, 9, or 10 paddles to choose from...
Everybody else gave me an 8 except for Mary gave me a 9. And who else gave... One other person gave me a 9.
I don't know. Was it Garrett Wolf?
Did he give you a nine?
He might have because he was in the dance competition before as well. So he felt your pain. He knew because his pants split open when he did his dance. So at least that didn't happen to you.
Didn't I start good though? I was there for a minute and then it just went downhill.
You were there. You were clapping. What was the name of that song? You can get your hands up or I clap, clap. You know, that one.
The hands clap tune.
The hand claps, whatever. Yeah, you were there. You got the crowd involved. We were with you. And your feet were moving. They were moving. I mean, they weren't always moving with Brittany's feet, but, you know, they were moving. I thought it was really good. You had good rhythm. You had great posture. Really good posture. Yes, so your posture was phenomenal. So, yeah, so I thought I judged you well. Wasn't a 9 good? I thought it was good.
If I had an 8, 9, and a 10 pedal, I would have given myself an 8.
Well, Mary, I just got a – first of all, he might have should have just got a, maybe a 10 for, just for his shirt. The sequence on his shirt looked unreal.
Oh, my God. So Jared, he borrowed that shirt, I think, from the guy who runs the Fred Astaire studio, Michael.
I did.
And it was his Argentine tango shirt that he had worn in a competition. So that thing was retro. It was a great shirt.
For the record, I didn't borrow it. I was told, wear this, take that shirt off. It wasn't really a borrowing. I was instructed.
For the record, if you go to his apartment, he's got it in about 6 different colors. Just last Saturday to the show, he wore the one he had in lime.
Well, Harry, he would not. He comes to the performance. They introduced him. I said, Mark, I don't think you're supposed to keep your costume on when you're eating dinner. I think you're supposed to change into it. He goes, no, I'm not taking it off. I'm like, okay, well, you know, if you spill some of that tomato bisque soup on there, it's going to be a little bit of a disaster.
It's a good bisque.
So, it was an awesome bisque.
Listen, I'm watching this over and over again. This is the second time since we've been on the phone that I have it on my computer right here.
From last night?
You do?
Yes, I'm watching it.
How do you have that?
Come on, man.
I haven't even seen it. I got
everything.
Oh, my God.
JP.
I got everything.
Where did you get that? I need that.
It's actually on WGN's Radio's Facebook page. So if you go there, you could actually look at it. The one thing is there's some silent auction items that are right behind on the table where the judges were sitting. And there was a Scottie Pippen 33, looked like a signed jersey. I expected you to represent a little bit more with some Bulls memorabilia in your presence.
That Pippen jersey only went for $350. Which
what?
Yeah,
they gave it away.
They gave it away.
Wow,
pretty much giving it away.
Mary, was Mark's dancing performance so wonderful that some of the judges thought about taking their nine paddle and turning it upside down?
Well, I didn't think of that. That would have been pretty hilarious. But no, I think he did really good. And you know what? Just to say, he only had a couple weeks. He really did. And I think he only had less than eight lessons. And that's really good. I mean, for someone who had hardly any lessons at all. And Jared, you did this before, so you know how tough. Once those lights go on and you're actually, everybody's looking at you, you freeze. You literally freeze.
Not me. I'm actually a champion. So, no, it didn't.
Oh, you won.
Mary, yeah, I won. So it didn't affect me. Sorry.
See, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, Mary, I got high expectations of myself. I choked. I legit choked. I'm calling it as it was.
It's tough. No, I'm going to say this. If you don't have the amount of time that you need to be able to do all the steps, it's hard. And that's why I have such a respect for guys like David Ross for what he's doing, because to learn one dance is hard, but to learn multiple dances is insane.
You know, my sister's a dancer, and I've been around it my whole life, and it's like the only way in high school I could get girls to talk to me was because they were dancers. I would learn dance steps. Mark, you got to have the heart of a dancer.
It's true. That's another thing I got. You get one shot at this, Harry, but I feel like I do have the heart of a dancer, and I'm going to continue on with my lessons and trying to get to the next level here. I don't know what that
really
means.
Mary, JP, that's what I hear. I hear Carm saying he's not done with dance.
I don't think he should be. I think you should go dance.
Well, if you had a dance instructor that looked like Brittany, I can see why he's sticking with it. Yeah.
Brittany was extremely attractive. So was everybody in there. Ellie was who I wasn't dancing with. I mean,
the guy who loaned you the shirt.
Right. Stefan and I don't know the rest of their names. Michael. Everybody was beautiful.
Michael and Mark and Ty. Those are all of them from Fred Astaire and Burr Ridge. Yeah.
What I should, as we move on and we no longer talk dancing, Mary, I just want to get out there. Mary Vandeville was out on the floor like I couldn't even believe it. You're a star, Mary. It was.
I love to dance and keep. I'm still dancing, and I did this like three years ago, and I'm still taking lessons. It's so fun and it's really good for your brain. So your brain doesn't start rotting, you know, with the dementia. Yeah, it's really good. It's very good for you. So keep it up. And I'm going to be on you.
Now we got to worry about dementia out of nowhere. She's throwing it.
And then next year, maybe you'll be judging.
Yeah, okay.
I hope so.
Thank you for getting me involved, Mary, and not trashing me on the show here.
Hope he can keep his timing when he's judging.
Yeah. You did great. I'm very proud of you, Mark. Very proud of you.
Thanks, Mary. Appreciate it.
Okay. Talk to you guys later.
There you go. Mary Vandeveld. Wow. Got me involved. Being nice.
It's rough.
You watched it, right? You saw how off I was.
You were trying to get people excited.
I think that's what happened, right?
And you kind of lost. And anytime you lose a step, and Harry, you know this as well, mm-hmm. you lose one step.
You're done.
Especially with someone who is a professional. Yeah, you're trying to
where do you jump back on? Like, I couldn't jump back on until we came back together. And then we got a little waltz. I was fine. But even then, I messed that up, too.
It's all about focus.
This mattered to me.
Well, you know, Carm, you still play tennis and you play basketball and you're in very good shape, you know.
And softball,
you know, bingo. So I'm surprised that you, weren't able to get back.
I just have two questions for those who are still listening to this program, 312-981-7200. Will you still listen to the show knowing that, you know, I failed at dancing? Does that take away the credibility of the program?
A little bit.
I think that hurts the station. I think it hurts the show. But I got to be honest about what happened. What do you think, Harry? Because, I mean, you've had some...
I question. I question how much you really wanted to succeed in dance.
I really did, though.
Really?
Well, at the end.
Think of how much better you got in basketball when you wanted to become better in basketball. Think of how much better you got at tennis when you wanted to be better in tennis. Now look at what you did last night.
Well, this was like cramming for the last minute test, but you still want to pass the test.
Any man that wants to wear this sequined shirt like this with the, I can't even do that. It was a V-neck.
Aggressive V.
I would have to shave a little bit.
Right. I came out with a t-shirt on underneath.
Or tweeze.
I mean, I came out with a t-shirt on underneath the V because that V was so low.
And they told you to take it off.
They told me to take it
off.
You
had to.
And I'm like,
t-shirt underneath the V?
Well, this V was like down to my belly button. It's aggressive V.
Ari, you tweeted the picture out of him the V. I mean, he looks committed.
I'm there for him. I would like get my McMichael jersey and I would put sequins on that. No V. No. I just sequin up one of my Bears jerseys. Give me my Matt Sui road jersey. Sequin that sucker up.
I mean,
you're good.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
All right. Thanks a lot. Hey, so
are you and Brittany going to keep dancing?
You know, it's a long hoof out to Burr Ridge here. I might have to go more of a local situation.
She could come in the city.
No, you know.
Yeah, that would take.
It's the way it goes.
Communication.
I think right now it's time for me to get with somebody new and have a fresh start and move forward. Brittany was great to get me going, but you know, I think at this point I probably got to be a city dancer. And
I get it. I understand.
You know, that's just the way it's got to. It's
you
it's,
young kids.
This is the reality.
Speed dancers. You young kids.
Yeah. All right, I got beef on something you did on the show, Harry.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
I think JP's going to be with me on this, so we're going to do that coming back here. Very disappointed in you. Like, shocked, borderline just stunned. So
not good.
You got Italian beef you're bringing in?
Yep, right, beef coming up next. 720 WGN. All right, so I missed the show yesterday, Do the Dance. That was painful. Great job by Kevin Powell. Great job by you, Harry. What's your beef with Ronnie Woo Woo, man? You are a diehard Cub fan. Ronnie Woo Woo has been at different times the face of the franchise. Ronnie Woo Woo has earned the right to be in that ballpark and not have his ticket checked. You're on the anti-Woo. I can't believe you're an anti-Woo.
I'm not anti-Woo. I'm just, I'm pro-Cub experience. So because Ronnie Woo Woo was insulted, the story is that he was in the bleachers and an usher asked to see his ticket. He didn't have a ticket. He said that he was a guest of someone else. They said, well, you know, who had it? Finally, they found a guy who had taken him to the game. And the guy said that he had the ticket on his phone, but he looked in his phone. He couldn't produce a ticket. And then the guy he was with started screaming, and they say he may or may not have been overserved. And it became an uncomfortable situation for everybody in the ballpark.
Yeah.
And I was a happy drunk. You know, I was happy to be at that park, whether I was sober or boozing. But I always had a ticket. And I've had those seats. My family's had those seats for 32 years. And they still ask me, hey, can we see your tickets? We don't believe a guy like you would be sitting here. I show him the ticket. Ronnie Woo was offended, and then this guy got in the face of these Cubs people and started yelling at these ushers for just doing their job, and everybody around them is uncomfortable? That's not right.
Well, hold on a second. Have you really, in total honesty, in the seventh inning of a game, been asked to produce your ticket? Like, that's never happened to me there. It hasn't. It's never happened.
I don't know if seventh inning, but I'm constantly asked, you know, there's different. It used to be like the same woman was there forever. Ruth.
Love Ruth.
Oh, Ruth was so great.
Ruth.
Love her.
I don't think Ruth liked me very much.
Why is that?
I was a vendor. Ushers don't like the vendors. That's a thing.
Really?
Yes, that's 100%.
Can't we all just get along?
We can't.
We should.
You know, the vendors are the only ones that didn't get rings, by the way. Not that.
William didn't get a ring.
William didn't get a ring, man. The vendors did not get rings. No rings for the vendors. There's always been a separation there. You work for the team, vendors work for the union and Levy, so the vendors didn't get a ring. But at any rate, continue on. You tell me, Ruth. Ruth knew you. Ruth would never ask.
Well, Ronnie Woo, all he's got to do is show the ticket. You know, Ronnie Woo Woo was a big part of, you know, I assume everybody knows who Ronnie Woo Woo is. He's the guy that would be Jody, Woo, Zonk, Woo, Sarge, Woo, And, you know, for a while, they couldn't find Ronnie. His wife was worried he got kidnapped. He turned up as he was, like, delivering pizzas. And then for a while, we needed to get Ronnie some teeth and, you know, get Ronnie some choppers. We got him his teeth. And, you know, Ronnie Woo-Woo was synonymous, I think, with the 84 Cubs. But, you know, he just – all he needs to do – he comes in full costume, full uniform to the games.
If you were an usher at Wrigley Field, JP, would you ask Woo for a ticket?
Probably not.
Would you, Harry Tynowitz, ask Woo for a ticket?
I probably would not. Unless somebody said, hey, that guy's in my seat.
Yes, exactly. That would be the only way.
Right, okay.
And then if you don't produce a ticket, what are we supposed to do?
But Woo walking around the bleachers, how did he get in without a ticket? I mean, seriously, how does that make any sense? If he's in your ballpark and you let him in, I don't think Woo scaled the walls. He got in.
You never know.
So why are you asking Woo for a ticket after he's in the park? Now, if he's walking up to the gate and they say, Ronnie, where's your ticket? He doesn't have a ticket. Okay, fine, don't let him in. But this he was in the park.
Chilling.
And you're going to be like, Woo, where's your seat? And you're going to boot Woo? You can't boot Woo.
May the force be Woo.
I can't
boot Woo.
You cannot boo or boot Woo. And I put out a ton of stuff on Twitter. People like, they just don't like Ronnie as much as I like Ronnie. I get that. But what do you think? How did you get in?
JP, yes. You are a dad now.
Yes.
And what you guys do for your kids is you put them in a position to succeed. So you want to take them to a ball game, south side, north side. You don't need people screaming. You don't need belligerent people around your kids.
Just first of all, he won't go to the south side. He's a Cubs fan. So it's not happening. I already tried.
No chance he'll be bisexual?
No, it's not happening.
You get him over to the Sox game, though, he's going to be able to run.
Helmets of ice cream.
Get him over to the Sox game. Chance he could play center field.
312-981-7200. Do the Cubs now owe Woo a lifetime pass? Should Woo be given a lifetime pass? Lifetime pass for Woo. No? You're not in?
No.
312-981-7200.
I love Woo.
Make it right with Woo.
I love Woo, too.
Quick timeout. News in a second. 720 WGN. WGN. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Anybody you'd like to shout out right now, Harry, outside of your own mom, some special moms out there like Veronica Carter up in the news working hard on a Mother's Day, that'd be one person that would come to mind.
Everybody's a special mom.
That's exactly right.
That is the, that is an all-consuming, time-demanding, wonderfully rewarding job. But happy Mother's Day to everyone within the sound of our voices that's a mom.
Yeah, a lot of great moms out there. All the ladies in my life, my wife. My mother and my sister, my mother-in-law. Happy Mother's Day to everybody.
My sister-in-law, the lovely Adele, my cousins who are all incredible moms themselves, Dolores Jordan. Got to get Mike's mom in there. Come on. I love Dolores. Dolores was the true leader of the family.
Women always are, man.
Right.
Moms are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Behind every great man.
Yeah, it's 720 WGN, sports moms. For 500. I know, Harry, you've got a Mother's Day game for us coming up a little bit later.
It's a little fun with Mother's Day. You know, I know JP loves the games.
I'm so excited for this.
This is like a little bit of history right here, sitting with the two of you right now. I don't know if it's weird for you two, but I'm getting emotional myself. Hey, we were getting back on track, though, for a second. I'm trying to build a better bridge with Ronnie Woo-Woo and the Cubs. I don't know if anybody's interested in this, because Woo-Woo apparently is going to take it to the Supreme Court and sue, which is something I don't believe will actually happen. And then there's the Cubs side, which I don't think they necessarily want to partner with Woo. Nick's a former usher at Wrigley, and he's got a Woo story. What's up, Nick? Welcome to WGN.
Thank you, boys. A quick shout-out to my mom, Donna, on the north side. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Donna.
There we go. I've got a quick story for you. I used to work down there about 10 years ago, and this is when they were just the paper tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Woo would come to the bleachers all the time. He would never have the right ticket, but we'd walk him through because he's Woo, and you want him in the bleachers, he'd be a fun time. So So I don't know what kind of bone he has to pick. He's been getting special treatment for a bunch of years, so maybe they just had a couple ushers decided it wasn't his time to get special treatment this time.
So hold on a second here, Nick. Have you actually seen the process of Wu getting snuck into the bleachers? Like, there's a lot of ushers.
Very sneaky.
What's that?
It's not very sneaky. He'd have a standing room only ticket. He'd have a 200-level ticket. You give a little nod. Security guard would sit, give a wave. He'd walk through.
Okay. So, but he had a seat to the game, so you're just bending the bleacher rule.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, it was by no means a James Bond-like scenario.
Okay, but
Who had a ticket? He wanted to be in the bleachers. That was where he should go.
Okay. I mean, in that particular scenario, hey, Wu, if you got a ticket in the terrace, then you're in the terrace that day, Wu.
It is.
I mean, I don't think he needed to get preferential treatment there.
Look, the Cubs need to worry about three of their starting, you know, hitters, you know, jacking their batting average up. They need to worry about, do they go after, you know, Jose Quintana before somebody else in the division does. They don't need to worry about Ronnie Wu and one of his friends screaming, you know, obscenities around little kids at the ballpark.
Well, okay, but hold on a second here. Let's talk about what's going on at Wrigley real fast.
Let's do it.
Okay. Wrigley Field is going under a massive transformation.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to have a club behind home plate.
Right. It's already there.
Right. Where people are going to be paying $400 plus a ticket to sit there. So it's going to be super corporate. They're going to put a club in the upper deck, 420, right? The prime seats in the upper deck, which were really some of the best seats in the house that people never bought, but are phenomenal seats. They're going to put a club up there.
Right. Did you say they're going to call it 420?
I didn't say that, but that's the section. Good catch there, Harry.
There's going to be four clubs total.
Right. And so, listen, they got rid of the bullpen so they could add some seats down the line.
Yes.
That was an investment play.
They've added seats over the year behind home plate.
So you do, and I think they've done a nice job, but you do also want to maintain a sort of friendly confines feel, do you not? Call me crazy. I mean, I'm watching the other night on TV. It's the 15th inning.
That was a great game, except for the end.
Yeah, in the Yankee game, there's seven people left there. God bless them. They're checking tickets behind home plate in the 15th inning on a Sunday night. Now, to me, that's not what I'm looking for at Wrigley Field. That's just me.
We used to always sneak down. We, you know, before the days of season tickets, we used to. The trick was if you had like food in your hands or a drink in your hands, they often wouldn't check your ticket.
Yeah.
So you could just like have, you know, something in each hand and have a ticket sticking out. But, you know, all I'm saying here, I got nothing against, you know, the magic of Wu. All I'm saying is that the Cubs don't need any negatory vibes coming from the stands. And if one of their ushers checks a ticket, you know, you need to have a ticket.
That's the biggest issue I have with the whole incident was whoever he was with was yelling craziness.
Right.
You know, like if Wu doesn't get to go through to the bleachers and he's still got the standing room only, then, yeah, Wu, not today. But other than that, I mean, you talk about the transformations. It's a different Wrigley than you guys. I know you both spent a lot of time at the ballpark for many years. It's different when you walk up there.
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
But it's totally different. I mean, seeing the Starbucks vibe and like...
Right, we got the big park, the Cubs shop.
There's going to be the hotel.
The giant TV screen outside and, you know, not they're putting up the hotel. Yeah. And, you know, eventually they're going to close off the streets. They're going to have Addison closed off. They're going to have Clark closed off. Waveland and Sheffield, you know, already closed off. You'll be able to, like, party. It's an event.
312-981-7200. Who wants to go back to the old days of Wrigley with Yum Yum Donuts and the one guy on the roof with his shirt off and looked like he hasn't showered in 5 days?
Pete's Freeze.
But like, I think there is a balancing act that I'm kind of talking about here. And when Wu's getting busted, that signals to me a whole new, just a new era. What's up, Matt? Welcome to 720 WGN. Go ahead, man.
The Carmeister and the Tana Witzer. So, here's my view on
JP's
it.
Here, too.
Do I think that they... Oh, hello, sir.
How are you? No, it's all good.
My apologies. all right. So here's the story. Should they have been yelling stuff? No. However, the man's in his late 70s. He's been to, I'm just going to throw out a random number there here. I don't know how many games he's been to. 1,236 games. the 1,236 games that the man's been to in his life, all of a sudden, miraculously, he doesn't have a ticket. If he's there that many times, for that many decades, wouldn't you just have to assume that they do have a ticket and he can't pull it up? Why would he go about faking a ticket after all this time?
I'm with you, Matt. And see, I'm sensing a change in the times here. Look, when Wu's in the park, Wu's in the park. Leave Wu alone. We don't need everything in the world to be changing. Wu's doing the Wu. That's our number one fan, like it or not. That's the guy. And we ride or die with Wu. I will ride or die with Ronnie Wu Wu to the end. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate you.
I don't know that he's had a ticket to begin with.
When you see Wu on the street, what do you do when you see a Wu?
Yeah, you got it. It's like you can't help it. You have to Wu.
You have to. It's a must.
You give him a high five, and it's Wu time.
Yeah, it's like an involuntary thing. Something just happens in your body.
You ever bought Wu a drink, Harry?
I think I got him some Crystal Light once.
Crystal Light for
yeah.
Wu?
I think so.
You got me scared there for a second. Yeah, I didn't know where we were going.
Yeah, neither did I. I'm like, we'll move along. 312-981-7200. Crystal Light for Wu. Maureen. What's up, Maureen?
Hey, I'm with you. When Wu's in the park, leave him alone. He's been a diehard Cubs fan for over 30 years. Come on. He's the best. He's number one. He's there to have fun. It wasn't his fault that his friend with the ticket got obnoxious. You're right. That's unacceptable. But as far as Ronnie's concerned, he deserves a lifelong ticket. Forever.
Yeah,
I'm with Wu. I'm with Ronnie all the way.
Maureen, we're getting you a T-shirt. Thank you for calling.
I think Ronnie Wu is harmless. We can all agree on that.
I agree.
There shouldn't be negative vibes coming, and this should not be the Cubs' priority.
Listen, if somehow, some way, when the Cubs won Game 7 in Cleveland and ended the drought in the 2016 World Series, if I had seen Wu run out on the field, I would have high-fived Wu. I would have been all into it. It wouldn't bother me at all. There he is, like Chris Bryant lifting up Wu. I'd have no problem with that. Uniform.
No.
I guarantee you, if you ask Bill Murray, right, who's one of the greatest, celebrity. Everybody loves Bill Murray, okay? The whole family just drips talent. And Bill Murray, I guarantee you, he's got a ticket in his pocket. You know, there's a story that at the World Series game in Cleveland, he had an extra ticket, and he gave it to some random woman because she was a Cubs fan. Bill Murray is buying tickets. And I'm not even saying Ronnie Wu has to buy them. Someone will give him a seat. I don't know if Ronnie's ever bought a ticket.
Bill Murray should rescue Wu. Murray should go full season ticket for Wu.
Let's do it.
It would speak to that would speak to something that Bill would do, right?
He would do something.
He would do something crazy like that.
One more on this. Craig, what's up, man? Craig? Oh, Craig dropped off? Okay.
Come on, Craig.
Craig wanted to say the bigger problem is Jake Arrieta and everything else that's going on with the Cubs.
That's
and
where
not
Harry
Wu
was going.
We can do that. We can do that coming back. There is, when we come back here, there's one sort of good thing that happened to the Cubs today. Not that there was a decision to be made in the offseason. The Cubs made the right one. We'll explain that coming back. 720 WGN. Cubs are down 5-0 in the ninth to St. Louis. They're going to lose 2 of 3 in the series. They're going to be under 500. We'll do a bunch of Cubs baseball coming up after 4 o'clock. A little more. Day off tomorrow. The Reds here on Tuesday. I do want to shout out the biggest story of the day. Rafa Nadal.
Oh, my God.
7-6, 6-4 over Dominic Thiem to win the Madrid Open Final. His third straight title, JP.
Who's Dominic Thiem?
Is that a magazine?
Number 9 in the world, Dominic Thiem.
That's the problem that we have no... You might know who he is.
I had no idea who Dominic Thiem is.
No clue.
He's young. He's talented. You'll know him someday.
That's the problem with tennis, man.
Novak Djokovic, he beat him in the semis in the tournament.
It's not the same. No. Growing up, remember those days with Agassi and, like... I mean, it was... It was a thing. It's not a thing anymore.
You've got Nadal, Djokovic, Murray, and Federer.
And I blame Pete Sampras, the most boring champion in the history of the world. He killed your sport. He just killed your sport.
Wednesday night, UIC Pavilion. There will be McEnroe will be on the court. Roddick will be on the court.
Now you're talking.
Courier's okay. on the court. Thank Mark you. Philippoussis on the court.
Philippoussis was awesome back in the day on Sega Tennis. Oh, my goodness.
Power
Big
share.
Dude. I mean, his serve was unreal.
That's solid knowledge right there.
I used him all the time, Mark Philippoussis.
So,
what about Vitas Karolaitis?
I love what JP does. That's amazing. 5:15 to 6 o'clock Wednesday night at the UIC Pavilion, the Power Share Series. We're playing a little mixed doubles. It's going to be myself and Brooke Weisbrod against Bill Leff and Kelly Kroll.
Wow.
5:15 to 6.
Oh, so, okay, that's not the way it was presented to me yesterday.
How was it presented?
You and Leff.
Who said that?
I won't give up his initials.
Okay, well, no, we're splitting up the men and the women. We're going mixed for the 45-minute pregame. But if you want to see your guy McEnroe, he can still do it even at 58.
McEnroe is so great.
It's truly incredible. Okay. To pay off what we were just talking about, last year when the Chicago Cubs won the World Series, what was a major reason they did it, right? Everybody would agree.
Theo.
And trading for Aroldis Chapman, right? Despite his meltdown and whatnot, they don't get there. They don't win Game 5 without Aroldis.
Right. Even though you had to give up something very big, the Chapman deal, I would say, was the key move.
It was worth it.
Right. So did you want them to sign him? Because I did. I wanted Chapman back all day.
I think Wade Davis is better than Chapman.
He may be.
I'm with you there.
But at the moment, when it happened,
I wanted them to find a way to bring him back.
Right. And by the way, you could have had Wade Davis in there too and had a bullpen of just complete dominance. But they didn't sign him, and the Yankees did. 5 years, $86 million. Aroldis Chapman went on the DL today. He's going to miss at least a month. He's got yet an MRI after getting two outs on Saturday, and the shoulder is not doing well. So we got some inflammation in the rotator cuff in the left shoulder, out at least a month, and this is the biggest contract in relief pitcher history.
Oh, it's ridiculous what they gave him.
So, I mean, you can't predict these things, but right now Theo and company look... Not that it was even a consideration, but I wanted it to be. And I'm like, oof, thank God they didn't sign him. That would make things look worse right now.
You just never know.
What Aroldis Chapman did and what everybody in the world thought he was going to do is pitch the ninth inning. And what he ended up doing was pitching about 73, innings in the last few games of the World Series. I mean, he really stepped up.
And they asked him, too, is this related to last offseason when you said you were overused by Joe Maddon? He said... Said, well, maybe people might think that, and who knows, but I was feeling great 2 weeks ago, and, this just happened.
Just happened.
So, I don't know, but you get that cumulative effect, right?
Speaking of the Yankees, we should give a little love to number two.
Cheats?
Yeah, you got to give some
getting
love
his
to
number
Cheats.
Retired tonight.
Derek, what do you like about Derek Jeter, Harry?
What don't I like about Derek Jeter? He did it the right way. He did everything the right way, and, maybe the greatest franchise in the history of sports. You could argue the Celtics or the Canadians, but he is now the Yankee leader in hits, at bats, games played, doubles, runs, and he went about it the right way, and he was always aware of the community, and just a likable kid from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Harry and I were talking about it before the show. To play in that market and the scrutiny that comes to guys that I know that have played in New York, it's very, very tough. Just talking guy Jeremy Shockey, who used to tell me he couldn't do anything, go out anywhere. It was always in the news. Derek Jeter was good on the field. He was good off the field. You didn't hear things about him off the field. You heard that he was giving gift bags, gets away with
That's just being thoughtful.
But, even off the field stuff, he was – He was a good guy.
My favorite Jeter story was courtesy of Ozzie Guillen. Sox are playing the Yankees. The batting cages are on the White Sox side, so the opposing players have to walk over. So Jeter walks over. Ozzie yells at him, what's up, Jeets? And then, they say hello, and he goes and hits. So then Ozzie sits down. He says, that guy's the king. He wins World Series. You never hear about him in the news. And let's put it, how did he say it? Not the way I'm going to say it right now. He has his way with all the women. He's like, I don't have a daughter, but if I did, I would tell her to hang with him. I'm cleaning this up supremely.
Where do you guys stand on Minka Kelly? Thumbs up? Yeah. Thumbs down, right?
Yeah, that's a thumbs up. That's
okay.
A thumb up.
Right, okay. So he was dating Minka Kelly, and he's got this hitting streak going. And he got home one night, and he's in a horrible mood because his hitting streak had been snapped that night. Minka Kelly is like, oh, man, you did it. You kept the hitting streak alive. He's like, what? He's like, you kept the hitting streak. You got 3 hits tonight. He's like, what are you talking about? I went over three. She thought that any time you made contact with the baseball, that was a hit.
Well, maybe they should change the rules. Minka's on to something.
That's a classic.
Speaking of where you're going, have you heard the Yeah Jeet story?
No.
I have.
You've heard that one, Dan? Apparently, when, and this is alleged and probably not true, but still fun to tell. Apparently, when Jeets is in the throes of passion, he likes to compliment himself with a Yeah Jeets.
How do you get that? How does that stuff ever get?
I don't know. It gets out.
Doesn't A-Rod
People want to believe that Jeets is just going, yeah, Jeets.
Doesn't A-Rod allegedly have like a picture of himself in his apartment that's like a centaur?
Maybe he does. Yeah, Jeets. Yeah, Jeets.
Who's your favorite centaur? For me, it's always going to be Jay Hilgenberg.
Cubs game's gone final. Quick timeout. We'll get news, and we'll break down the lost weekend in St. Louis. 720 WGN.
We lose! Chicago Sports. Spoken here. The beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
Hope you're having a wonderful holiday weekend. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Moms-to-be. Dads who are moms as well.
Everybody.
We can include a lot of people in this. So the Cubs lose to the Cardinals 5-0. They're under 500, 18-19. Jake Arrieta, 6 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, all earned, walked 1, struck out 5, gave up 2 home runs. Now 4-3 on the year, and again the ERA 5.44. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz. He's Jared Payton at 720 WGN. Cardinals are now 21-15, and again the Cubs are 18-19, which puts them a little bit back of St. Louis, 3.5 games to be specific.
They're ahead of one team in the division, right?
They're ahead of the Pirates. They're behind the Reds, who are 19-17, 2 games back. They're behind the Brewers, who are 20-17. So this is not the start of the season that we all wanted. We can agree on that, right?
True.
Jake Arrieta, he's given up 8 home runs this season. You want to guess on the date last year that it was when he gave up his 8th home run?
August 29th.
I don't know.
July the 25th. All right, it's May 15th. And he allowed 15 total in 2014 and 15. Okay. Now, here's a guy who won the Cy Young in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And was the reason why the Cubs were able to rally and get hot late and beat the Pirates in the wild card game, right?
Oh, he was so great.
Phenomenal.
In that game.
Phenomenal. And he showed signs in that game, if you remember, in the 6th inning of starting to slow down just to drop. They were hitting him hard, but he was able to get through it. And then he got beat up a little bit in the Cardinals series, but they won. And then he bowed out against the Mets. And then last year, it wasn't perfect, but he was still really, really good.
18-8?
Yeah, 18 wins, 3.10 ERA.
Pretty good.
And he beat the Indians twice in the World Series. Now, they got a ton of runs in Game 6, but he beat them twice. So now we're sitting there with an ERA of 5.44. He's about a quarter of the way through in a contract year, and the Cubs are one game under 500.
That's the crazy part. It's contract year.
Anybody want to gander a guess as to what's going on with Arrieta? 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. JP, Harry, you want to gander a guess? Because I mean, I'm watching him today. They're smoking his fastball. It looks real straight. Matt Carpenter was 0-for-28 against him. It's a two-run bomb. He's now 1-for-29. I mean, it was a terrible pitch. He wasn't locating well. I don't know. I feel like
over time, no matter what sport, and when we talk about baseball, the analytics and how they break down, it's such a science. So when people start to really figure you out, it's either you need to switch it up or do what you do well all the time. And you have to be on point. And I feel like he's off. The velocity's not there. You can see it in the numbers with his fastball. It's just not there. People are hitting him. He's having issues, especially at the top of the order, like the number one, number two batters all the time. And there should be a correlation that the Cubs are also having issues in the first inning as well, getting behind.
Well, Cubs fans have been spoiled by Jake Arrieta. He has been just unbelievable.
That's true.
In the stretch of 11 starts, he had two no-hitters. I mean, that's just absurd. It's unheard of. And I know his fastball is down like from 94 to 91, but hitters slump. You know, right now, Schwarber's under 200. Addison Russell's hitting about 220. Rizzo's hitting about 220. There's no way those guys will hit that low. When a pitcher slumps, everybody's ready to jump off the top of a building.
Well, that starting rotation has to be strong. And if Arrieta is not at his top of the game, there's a hole in that starting rotation. And right now, there is a hole.
Well, who imagines you go to St. Louis, you win one game? Which game do you win? Do you win the Eddie Butler game? You win the Arrieta game? You win the Lester game? I mean, if you had voted before the weekend, Butler would have gotten 2% of the vote, if that.
Mm-hmm.
Cubs are under 500, by the way, for the first time since 2014.
But they're also, they're also right there. And I mean, as bad as they've played, and the defense has been terrible. As bad as they have played, as off as Arrieta has been, as terrible as Brett Anderson has been, as shoddy as the Cubs defense has been, they're 3.5 games out. That's really, you know what they are? They are the champion racehorse that's just laying off the pace in the Kentucky Derby. And at any time, the jockey can just, Joe Maddon can just go to the whip and go, yeah. And the horse just go past the other contenders.
And listen, they were missing Chris Bryant over the weekend.
Right.
They're missing Addison Russell. They're introducing Jaime Candelario. They're introducing Ian Happ.
Who both look pretty good, by the way.
I mean, Candelario didn't hit, but Ian Happ did. And I'm not pushing the panic button here. And if the season doesn't turn out the way I want it to, that's cool. We won the World Series. I get it. It's hard to repeat. But I also feel like the whole take, they're fine. They're not fine. Look at the difference between last year. Last year was you go, we go, I go, whatever it was, Dexter Fowler, 400 on base percentage at the top of the lineup. They don't have anywhere close to that. I don't think Schwarber should be leading off. I'm ready to bail on that. But there aren't any clear answers as to who should step in there. So that's one. You also had a fifth starter last year in Jason Hamill, who pitched very well.
Yeah.
I mean, and maybe Eddie Butler could step into that, but Brett Anderson didn't. So that's – and
Brett Anderson stepped in something else.
Yeah. There's more. I mean, you've got a relief crew that looks a little wobbly, although Davis at the back end is fine.
Fine. He's great.
I mean, he's fantastic. My bad. Okay,
he's
great.
He's fantastic.
And you've got
– all right. So guess what?
Yeah.
You need your starting pitching to go seven and stop. There's not a balance. And last year you started to see a balance. There's not a balance here where guys are getting yanked out because they're getting hit. And the next thing you know, you're taxing that bullpen. It doesn't seem like it's working right now.
312-981-7200. What's wrong with the Cubs?
No more switch. I don't want to hear in this town anymore about a team flipping on a switch.
Yeah,
and then it's just like they can just turn it on because I'm done with that with the Blackhawks. Okay,
I thought you were talking about the switch Adrian Peterson had.
We were on the air then. Switch.
Let me throw one more thing out there too.
What?
Kyle Schwarber in left field, and I'm a supporter of Kyle Schwarber.
We just had this conversation.
But JP was just saying.
I just talked about this before we came down here. Keep going.
When you play in a big ballpark like Coors Field, and you see balls fall that have been in the air for quite a while.
A week and a half.
Yeah. You do have to start to wonder, is your bat going to be enough to compensate for what you're going to give on defense. And I think Schwarber is okay out there, but he is, but it is long-term. It's not great.
It is the position where you hide guys. It is the position. Greg Luzinski was a great Philadelphia Philly hitter, a slugger. He and Schmidt just destroyed baseball for about 10 years. And Luzinski was not a great left fielder, but he was good enough. Kyle Schwarber made a play in that 18-inning game against the Yankees that was like Gold Glove-esque, but yesterday he dropped a foul ball.
I always think of long term. I know what Theo and Jed and how the organization feels about him. But
that's all true.
He's a natural. Long term, if I was him, I'd be thinking about DH and
so if you're
first base,
why
so
not?
If you're Theo and Jed and you got to go out and look at Jose Quintana or getting some starting pitcher,
You think I'm crazy, but starting pitching is what you need, man.
Well,
if you could snag that off the south side, it's a perfect match for both.
And at least that way Jaden could see him play, because you already said Jaden's not going to the south side.
He's not going to the south side.
Let's get a couple calls in here, 312-981-7200. Jerry, welcome to 720 WGN.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Jerry.
Well, I'm calling about the Arrieta question.
Okay.
You know, ever since the Cubs acquired Lester, I've noticed that Arrieta's been, been on the good end of the stick. You know, the Cubs have run, scored runs, whereas Lester has actually pitched better. But, due to the fact that the Cubs haven't been scoring, he's the one who's getting the losses. But I think now this year it's all catching up,
Last year, Lester and Hendricks had lower ERAs. You're absolutely right about that. But Arrieta's been fantastic. Arrieta has been spectacular. And as Carm pointed out, in the World Series, the Cubs scored runs for him. But it's tough taking the hill when you're down 3-2. It was tough the game before that when they were down 3-1. Jake Arrieta has spoiled Cub Nation. He has spoiled this town, and I've heard a lot of people talking that he's off the juice. I laugh. Poppycock, I say to that. I think he's just slumping.
See,
well, I mean, all the games I've seen, he's given up about 5-6 runs. And even last year, he's given up, quite a number of runs. But, it just happens that the Cubs are, like last year with the offense they had, they were outscoring the opponent, they were like scored 8-9 runs a game. But I think this year with the offense that they have, they can't put numbers up, and that's why they're all, I think they're all suffering from that.
Just a quick note on that, just a quick Google search. Last year, Arrieta did lead the Cubs starting pitching in run support, 6.8 runs a game, or an average.
He got 7 runs a game last year?
That's how they're scoring it. But he is the highest. He's the top-ranked starting pitcher.
And if you have if you go out there in the first inning and you're up 3-0 or 4-0, it affords you an entirely different, experience on the hill that day. But his ERA was still low threes. I don't think you say, the only reason he won 18 games is because they were scoring for him and they weren't scoring for John Lester.
Here's Madden's comments on Arrieta. I have so much faith and confidence in him and his methods. You're pretty aware that I don't get off the bandwagon very easily. I really believe he's going to be fine. I believe it's just going to be almost like a snap of the fingers. Everything's going to fall back into place. I don't think you're going to see this slow method of better, 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 great. I think you're all of a sudden going to see something's going to click. He's going to be back close to where he had been. It's hard to be where he had been when he won the award. I'm not expecting that, but more like what we saw last year, a lot more consistency in his velocity. Velocity is probably the biggest thing.
That's it. I mean, you got to find some middle ground here. It's not going to be that Cy Young type performance all the time. But if he can be like he was last year, that's where you need him to be. And there just seems to be issues. But I told you, I'm not listening to anybody that says flick of a switch anymore.
Well, and just a reminder to everybody too here. Look, he pitched. He was injured in Baltimore.
Right.
He came here and he took on a workload, especially in 2015, that he had never taken on in his life. I mean, they pitched deep into the postseason, and He was. I mean, it was a huge. It was like a 90 innings jump.
And all he did was win the Cy Young.
And he won the Cy. But then he came back last year, and he wasn't. He was great, but he wasn't as good. So I think that you can make a logical argument that perhaps the wear and tear of his career is starting to catch up to him a little bit, which is why, by the way, the Cubs aren't going to sign him at the end of the year because they don't want to pay for diminishing returns. So maybe we're starting to see the start of that a lot quicker. Now, if that is going on, to me that would mean he's hurt. And he doesn't, or something, you know, I have no evidence that he's hurt.
No.
We don't know what's going on in his body.
Right. It would be rough for the Cubs if they had to put Arrieta on the DL.
Well, and the other thing is, here, we'll make this point coming on back here. I'll give like the total doomsday scenario that I actually think could be in their best interest.
Okay. And I'll remind people why they're going to win the World Series.
Great. 720 WGN. I like it. Cubs lose to the Cardinals 5-0. As the Cubs now under 500 for the first time since 2014, 18-19, 3.5 games back of St. Louis, off day tomorrow, and then back home for a 10-game homestand starting with the Reds on Tuesday night. The Cincinnati Reds, by the way, are down 7-0 to the Giants right now, so the Reds will be coming in here at 19-18, one game ahead of the Cubs. And if you're wondering about the Chicago White Sox, which I know you are, the Sox are up 9-3 on the Padres, as looks like they will get a victory today. These White Sox, of course, been a rough week on the South side, but victory yesterday and going for two in a row right now. All right, here's the doomsday, right? Let's just say, for argument's sake, that the Cubs have hangover 2017. And season just does it. They never get on track. Jake Arrieta is not going to be back here. If Arrieta starts pitching a little bit better and somehow the Cubs don't find their way, and I don't think this is going to happen, but let's just say that they actually really had some problems. I like the concept of trading Arrieta at the deadline because you're not bringing him. Ooh. You're not bringing him back. And
get something.
You might get more than something.
Get something back. Why not?
Last year we saw the Cubs' mindset. They traded away one of the stars of the future in order to go for it now because this team is built to win it now.
Which is what that 99.9% chance that's what's going to happen again. They're going to trade some prospect for Yu Darvish or whoever.
Right. Or Quintana. And I think Rick Hahn is being incredibly intelligent by holding off on Quintana. He's going to wait until he can get the absolute biggest haul for Jose Quintana. Then he'll make the move. But Yu Darvish would be great. And, you know, I think that the Ricketts has already said it's totally Theo and Jed's call. I think that the Cubs would love to bring Arrieta back, but he probably ends up somewhere else at the end of the year. Still, I would not trade him at the deadline.
It's interesting. I'm kind of with you. It's just interesting to think about. But it all depends on where this team, where they're at.
Let's say you get to the end of the July, and I don't think they're going to be in this spot. But let's just say, for argument's sake, it's the end of July, they're 8 back and 4 under. What are you doing with Jake Arrieta? Let's say he's healthy, he's pitching all right. Are you at least making calls?
No. If they're 8 back, it means other guys are hurt. That means the guys are hurt, and hopefully they're not out for the season. Hopefully they're coming back.
Okay. All right. Kerry's got a game. You can win Lou Malnati's Pizza coming back right after 4:30.
Yum.
It's the Mother's Day game. Rare opportunity to be on WGN Radio, win things. You can play with me or you can play with Jarrett. 312-981-7200, 720 WGN.
Mother. Tell your children not to walk my way.
Happy Mother's Day, 720 WGN.
It's a classic right here.
Classic song played by Dan Long out of nowhere. Hey, you got an opportunity right now to play in the Harry Tynowitz Mother's Day game.
It's not about me.
No, but it is. Your games are legendary. The green game was a big win on the station. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 to join in on the Harry Tynewitz Mother's Day, Mother's Day game. And a reminder to everybody, Lindenhurst is the next stop in the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. It's presented by Allstate. We're going to be broadcasting live from RJ's Eatery. It's in Lindenhurst. It's next Saturday, May 20th, from 4 until 7. You're going to hear all the latest from what's going on, of course, as we always do. And then RJ's Eatery, where you can visit and see us and hang with us. That's located at 1913 East Grand Avenue in Lindenhurst. Visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for details. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own Good Hands. Now, Harry, how is this game going to work? Because it's your game, and I don't want to step on your toes.
This game is going to work this simply. We're going to get a contestant for each of you on the airwaves here at Radio 720 WGN in honor of Mother's Day. It's the Mother's Day game. I'm going to tell you the characters on the show that she was the mom of. I'm going to tell you the TV show I'm asking you about. I'm going to tell you the actress who played the person. And all you guys got to do is give me the character's name. Give me the character's name of the TV mom. And they'll be, I know you're not like looking at the computer now, right?
I was hoping you wouldn't notice that. Okay, fine. I won't cheat. I have no chance in this game.
I have no chance.
Come on. That's no attitude. These are moms. They're easy to remember.
All right.
Let's go.
We got one?
Yeah. How many contestants? Just two? Is that all we're doing?
Yeah. You each get one contestant. You each want to get two? That's fine.
No. Well, okay.
Each of you grab one contestant.
All right. Alan. What's up, Alan?
Hey, how you doing?
Alan, who do you want to play with, me or JP?
Well, you sound so confident.
It's a tough call, Alan.
I never thought I'd say this in a trivia contest, but I'm going to go with JP.
It's a wise choice.
Yes.
Good move. Although, you're going down, Alan.
I'm kind of nervous.
Not friends with you anymore. Let's go Joanne on Mother's Day. What's up, Joanne? Why did Alan just get dropped off? Okay. Alan, we just lost you. Apologize for that. Joanne, what's going on? Call back, Alan.
Hello?
Hello, Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
How's it going to get through?
Hi.
Joanne, who would you like to play with on Mother's Day? Me or JP?
I'll play with you.
Thank you, Joanne.
Joanne, I still love you, though.
Hang on a second, Joanne. Let me lock Joanne in. I think that I made a mistake there. I feel bad. I just locked out Alan.
You got your guy back?
Alan's back. I got it now. Sorry. First time I've ever done radio. Alan, is that you?
Wow, you take things personally. Huh?
Yeah, no, this is my technological difficulties, Alan. No problem. We're good. All right, it's Alan versus Joanne. I'm with Joanne. JP's with Alan. It's the Mother's Day Harry Tynewitz game. Go.
All right, this is for Alan and JP. She was Theo, Vanessa, and Rudy Huxtable's mom on The Cosby Show, played by Felicia Rashad. What was the character's name?
Claire Huxtable.
Correct.
We got you,
just
baby.
Like that. One zip.
Joanne, we would have had that one, just so you know.
All right. Now it's Joanne and Carm's turn. Man. She was Marcia, Jan, and Cindy's mom on The Brady Bunch, played by Florence Henderson.
Joanne, you got it? Or do you want me to go?
Carol?
Yeah, be right. Carol Brady, baby.
Carol Brady is correct. 1-1. Not at one. See, it's a fun game. It's an easy
it's
game.
Tough.
All right, we go back to Alan and JP. She was Kelly and Bud Bundy's mom on Married with Children. Kelly and Bud Bundy's
Peggy.
Mom. Peggy is correct. Just
yes.
Like that. 2-1. All right, now we go.
You're going to answer everything. I'm just going to start heckling.
Hey, no. If I need you, I'm going to get you, or I'm going to let you get the next
awesome. One. Awesome. I'll take the break. I'll just heckle.
It's not what teammates do.
That's not how we're rolling, Joanne. You're the leader on this team.
All right, Joanne and Carm, here we go. She is Haley, Alex, and Luke's mom on Modern Family, played by Julie Bowen.
Joanne?
Can take it.
Yeah, I knew. I felt the trouble on a Modern Family. Can I phone a friend and phone Dan Long?
one of the most popular shows.
I know.
I love
Modern Family.
You watch it all the time.
I do.
You don't even need cable for this one, Carm. Come on.
You're going to love this, JP. I need an answer.
I don't have. Joanne, you got a guess?
I don't know this one.
It's a terrible feeling. Her name is Sue.
Sue?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not correct. Her name is Claire. Claire Dunphy is who we were looking for. So it remains 2-1 in favor of Jared and Alan.
Who's making the ruckus? Is this you, Alan?
I say we include Carmen the Arietta trade.
Not a bad idea, Alan.
It's really a good idea to start heckling the host of the show. Interesting call.
Alan feels comfortable with me. That's good. I like it.
All right. She is Chris, Meg, and this is for Alan and JP. Chris, Meg, and Stewie's mom, played by Alex Bornstein on Family Guy.
Good luck, Alan.
Chris, Meg, and Stewie's mom,
you
played
dog.
By Alex Bornstein on Family Guy.
JP, I think it's Lois.
I'm going with Lois.
Lois is correct.
Great job by Alan.
3-1.
Out of nowhere, Alan.
All right, this is for Carmen Joanne.
Joanne, we need this one.
How far behind are they? Is the game over?
No.
Settle down, Alan.
No. Game is not over yet. The game's going so well, too. All right. you missed this one. We're going to have to seriously check and see if there's something wrong with you.
We don't need to do that.
Right. This is Bart and Lisa and Maggie's mom.
You got it, Joanne.
On the Simpsons.
No, go ahead.
You don't know Marge Simpson. We're Joanne. I need some help here. But on the next one, Marge.
Marge is correctamundo.
All right, we're in this, Joanne. We just need one miss, and Alan's up for the miss right now. I can feel a
three.
Is Joanne Amish?
Is Joanne Amish? I believe she's probably got a TV. I don't know. Joanne, are you Amish?
Okay. Yeah, I'm Amish.
Excellent.
Honest and Amish all at the same time.
Okay. This is for Alan and JP. She was Gina Waters' mom on Martin.
Ooh, you're
Gina
in trouble.
Gina Waters' mom. What was her first name on Martin, played by Judy Ann Elder?
Did you just gave JP a Martin question.
No, I know. Hold up. Gina's mom
on Martin. She was quite a character.
Gina's mom.
I need an answer.
Sorry. Hey, I don't have this one.
Got it? No. Alan, okay. You got it?
Florence?
Oh, not even close. No. Nadine.
See, I wouldn't even have known that.
All right. You have a one. You know, this is Joanne and Carm. They're down by one. They can tie it up here. They can put the pressure on. We're late in the game.
I can't believe you blew that on purpose, JP. Just give him a shot. That's really, you're a good guy.
Late in the game here, George Costanza's mom on Seinfeld, played by Estelle Harris.
George Costanza's mom. He always calls her mom. I didn't even know she had a name. Joanne, you watch Seinfeld?
No.
Hang on a second here.
What country are you from?
It's a problem. I apologize deeply to myself and everyone else. That
George's mom.
Right. Red hair, short woman, lover.
Need an answer.
Edith.
Edith?
Not, no, hold on. Hold on. 3 seconds. Joanne, you got anything?
Samantha.
No.
I don't have it.
Estelle.
Edith, I was around
it. You were right there. You were so close. All right, so JP and Alan still up by one. You each have 2 questions left. Good luck to you both. Okay, this is for Jarrett and Alan. Franny's mom, played by Claire Danes on Homeland. Franny's mom, played by Claire Danes on Homeland. What is the character's name?
Alan, are you beeping or is that Joanne?
Oh my God! That's the main character, Homeland.
Yep.
Oh my God!
It's not Mandy Patinkin's character.
No.
I need Franny's mom's name.
Show's over at 6, Alan. JP,
what is going on here?
Yes.
Okay, time.
We're looking for Carrie.
Oh, my God.
Carrie is the character's name. All right, so now Carmen, Joanne can tie it up. Guys, also from the field of drama, Meadow and Anthony Jr.'s mom on The Sopranos. Meadow and Anthony Jr.'s mom on The Sopranos, played by Edie Falco.
Joanne?
Go ahead.
All right. She's so incredibly attractive.
She's great on the show.
And she's fantastic on the show.
One of the most phenomenal.
Carm, you're stalling, Carm.
I am, Carm, Alan. Going Sopranos. I don't know what.
Doesn't have it.
Yeah, no, I don't. What's her name? Is her name is Judy.
Oh, not even close. Carmella.
Carmella.
Carmella. So here, you guys each have one question left. Oh,
did
that's
you see
so...
the way I taunted him with the answer there.
Uh huh. This was such a
How
great
show. How do I not
show.
Remember Carmella?
Such a great show.
It was.
Yeah, she had a different understanding than most wives do. I don't think most wives would put up with Carmella's, with what Carmella put up.
I loved Carmella.
But then again, they had trash bags full of money on that show.
Carmen Carmella should have been a thing.
Mm-hmm. All right. JP and Alan can win the game if they get this right. If not, then Carm and Joanne will have a chance to tie. Lionel's mom. Lionel's mom, played by Isabel Sanford on
George.
The Jeffersons. Lionel's
Jefferson.
Mom, played by Isabel Sanford on the Jeffersons.
Are you doing construction, Elise? Alan?
No.
JP, wasn't that Wheezy?
Wheezy. They called her Wheezy, but...
We'll take Wheezy or Louise. You guys Louise. Have won the Mother's Day game.
Yes, Alan, I love you.
And just for fun, Carmen, Alan, would you have known JJ's mom, played by Esther Roll, on
Florence.
Good Times? What was it?
Florence.
Florida.
James Evans, one of the greatest characters in TV history. I love Florida, too. And, of course, Louise and George. Lionel. Florence Henderson.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
This make you want to watch Good Times? It makes me want to get a piece of pie.
Hey, no problem.
Alan, good
Listen,
job.
Thank you.
What did Alan win? Dan Long, tell him what he's won.
He's won a piece of the pie, a Lou Malnati's pie, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, over 40 Chicagoland locations. Order online at loumalnati's.com.
And Alan, just want to tell you one thing.
That's it.
See you guys. Joanne, my bad.
No, you were both bad.
I'm leaving. Alan.
He's come on the show. He's won Lou Malnati's, and he's still... taunting both of you.
It doesn't seem right, but that's fine. I appreciate good old Alan. All right. I thought that was a great game, Harry. Well done.
It was a great game.
Outstanding game.
Just a little fun for Mother's Day.
Absolutely.
And thanks to all the moms.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms.
All right. Quick timeout. Congratulations to Alan, JP. Not to me or Joanne. We really stunk that one up.
George Costanza's mom.
That was a bad one.
It's a bad one for
Estelle.
You know Estelle. I said played by the actress. The whole reason I gave actresses, played by Estelle Harris.
Brilliant.
Not brilliant.
The irony, the truth in words, the hints, the underlying.
It's right there. You're still thinking about the dance last night.
If I had just read between the lines.
Two L's back to back.
Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Cash. 720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Sunday. Happy Mother's Day. Figured we have a little window here. If you want to shout out a mom, we would allow one of those calls out there. Just this little special Mother's Day moment on 720 WGN. The Spurs and Golden State in a good one. We'll keep you up to date on that. 100-97 for the NBA basketball fans out there. In game one of the Western Conference Finals, game seven tomorrow night, Eastern Conference Finals, the Wizards and the Celtics. I like Boston to sneak through.
I am so glad you brought that up. Jarrett, I've never, for all the years that Larry Bird and Kevin McHale and the Chief were taking, Dennis Johnson were taking the Bulls, taking the Bulls on and taking them out before Michael was there. And then when Michael scored 63, Boston won that series, but the Bulls would get the last laugh. I've never had disdain for the Celtics like I have now. Watching this series that just ended a few weeks ago, I have general animosity towards Boston. I like Isaiah Thomas, but you can keep the rest of them. And Al Horford's sister trolling on Twitter the other night, swearing. What the devil is going on there? And your guy...
I'll double down on you right now. Isaiah Thomas crawled underneath my skin to the point that I wanted him to go down. And He had just lost his sister, and I felt terrible about it, but he was underneath my skin, and he is talking a lot of garbage in the Wizards series.
And John Wall was just the man. John Wall was the man the other night, sinking that three.
Hey, big time. I don't know if I have that feeling yet for the Celtics like that.
I mean, like, I hated the Pistons. I hated the Bad Boy Pistons. I'm with you there. Not a fan of John Starks and Anthony Mason and the Knicks. And Anthony Mason used to shave a word into his head, and I always thought, well, who's going to have the time to tell him what that word means?
You're really going to be upset when Jimmy goes there next.
Ooh. Ooh.
Well, it depends what we get for him.
That's not happening. Gold States, by the way, is getting every call down the stretch here. But, okay. One thing on, did you see the video of Isaiah Thomas, the 5'8" Celtics point guard, and he's getting taunted by Wizards fans, and he looks out in the crowd and he motions, hey, come on down here, buddy. You want to come down here? And the guy says no, and he's like, and then he said, I will mess you up. You know I will. And the guy stopped talking. And now it's caught on. It was, you know, gets, of course, everything. But he's got their phone out. But I love that when an athlete, if somebody's taunting you and you're willing to respond and back it up, I that's entertaining to me.
Talking about heat of the moment, too. I mean, you're just getting off the floor or you're still on the floor. Something's happening. Everything is amped up even more. It's hard. That's why I always have a problem with post-game like interviews where people are sticking a mic in someone's face as soon as they get done, and you're expecting them just to be like, cool down?
I think the worst thing is the between in basketball, between quarters interview, in baseball during the game interview, in college football after the half interview, and the worst is hockey in the middle of the period. Middle of the period. You know, there's the guy, you know, on the bench with the coaches. But JP, because I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but I think you're the only one of the three of us that played professional sports. Isn't the best response to an abusive fan no response?
Yes, not to say anything at all. But sometimes you get caught up into it. I'll never forget scoring at Doe Campbell at Florida State and then getting up, flipping the ball behind me and seeing these Florida State fans just like giving me the bird, saying all this stuff to me, and I was just like, take it in.
Yeah.
We just put points up on the board. Keep it moving.
That hurts them. That hurts them, no response.
But when you hear people yelling at you or calling out your family or something like that, it gets you a little bit. You never know what the person in the stands is saying.
Well, you're a human being.
A human being.
I mean, you're not Teflon that you could just get everything off your back. I get it. It would bother me.
How do you react at East Bank when you're playing a tournament?
His backhand, and then next thing you know, people are talking.
Listen, when the crowd was going nuts for Bobby the other day, when I reached the Eastern Conference, the East Bank Club semifinals, and Bobby took me down, despite I had a set point in the second set there, Harry.
Was it hard for Bobby to move around with the oxygen tank on him?
Bobby's about 10 years younger than me, for the record. Hey, JP's getting out of here, so and we're going to talk to Kelly Kroll right after 5 o'clock about, A, most importantly, playing mixed doubles with her Wednesday night, but also about the Cubs and where they're at, one game under .500. Blaine Gabbert signed this week. Colin Kaepernick is not signed. Blaine Gabbert's one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever
seen. Terrible.
So is Colin Kaepernick being blackballed? I want one football thought before you leave here.
Couldn't you get a better expression?
Yeah, please. Okay. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
You think so?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
There's no reason why he should not be. There's a lot of quarterbacks that are either backups or even some starters that I would have over him.
Yeah, I'd take him over Blaine Gabbert.
Yes.
Immediately.
So you guys think that because he's not necessarily, if there was nothing around him, he'd be on a team.
Yes.
I think. How do you explain Cutler and Romo as well? Just to throw out the devil's advocate here.
Romo, I don't think he made a very intense drive. I know Cutler called everybody.
I'm just going to say with those two guys, you have a larger body of work. And I just think that over the time when you start to see they are who they are, I don't know with Colin Kaepernick. I mean, we've seen him kind of flourish with, you know, using his feet. He can use his arm. He hasn't found a way to truly be in an offense, to be under another offensive coordinator. I love to see him in another situation.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I saw him in the Super Bowl.
Right, right.
Close to winning a Super Bowl.
Do you remember the game against Green Bay when he put like yes. almost 50 points up on the board against the Packers. Hey, Colin Kaepernick can run like very few other quarterbacks can run, but and he give can
him,
throw.
Give him an offense with some offensive weapons. I would love to see what he would be able to do.
I mean, he's saying most recently that he hasn't talked to anybody about any about a job in the NFL. Now, there's been different reports out from different agents saying that he's talked to like three teams, but Kaepernick himself is saying he hasn't talked to anyone. Okay. And Gabbert signed with the Cardinals on a one-year deal, and Blaine Gabbert is about as good as Harry Tynewitz and me combined.
You want to shake it up, and you want to get your name back into the circles here in the NFL, go to the CFL. Go up there. It's perfect for him. Light it up and have some more eyes on you, and then get a chance, because I know the phones will start ringing after that.
JP, what's on the show tonight?
I have no clue. That's why I'm going upstairs. CLTV Sports Feed, 6 o'clock.
720 WGN.
The 3-2 pitch for Molina. Swing and a high fly ball. Hit well. Left center field. Way back and gone! Yadier Molina with a 2-home run game. 5-0 Cardinals in the 8th.
Yeah, that was the second homer of the day for Yachty. Cubs lose 2 out of 3, under 500 for the first time since 2014. I think we should blame it on Kelly Kroll, who's been covering the team for Comcast Sportsnet. That would be unfair. There is a two-part reason for this call, but we can start with the Cubs. And Kelly's going to be playing with myself, Bill Leff, Brooke Weisbrod. Harry Tynewitz, you're going to be doing what on Wednesday night? Supporting?
I will be in true George Costanza style. I will be sitting there watching with a hot fudge sundae all over my face.
I got a great seat for you. Kelly, what's up? I'm so excited to play tennis with you.
I know. Same here. Yeah, and Harry, you got to cheer for us, okay? We need you to at least put down the spoon and the ice cream for a little bit and cheer for us. So, and blaming the Cubs on me is pretty harsh considering I am not in St. Louis. However, I was in Denver, and, they did take one there. So it's been a rough go for these guys for a little bit, and I keep thinking as it gets warmer and they get healthy again, we won't be having these discussions. But until then, let's talk about tennis, right?
Kelly, I'm shocked. As a lifelong Cub fan, I'm shocked by the people that are already, like, in full-on panic mode. I mean,
I know.
There's no way that Rizzo, Addison, Russell, Kyle Schwarber are not going to hit. I can understand why people are a little worried about Jake, but I think Jake is just slumping, right? You don't think he's lost it?
No. I mean, it is concerning, I suppose, when it comes to Jake. And, I mean, this is obviously a very touchy subject. I don't know really how you get into it with him, but maybe more so just baseball people around the league. But it's a little concerning to know that because they've changed how they're, monitoring speeds and pitches and all that, that it's a tick or two up from what we're understanding across the league. And Jake is still down in comparison to where he was a year ago. So I guess that's a little concerning. But, yeah, here, I'm with you. I just think it's a little early. And, again, I'm a fairly patient person when it comes to sports. I understand that not all fans are like that. I think it takes time, especially given, I mean, we all were kind of part of the coverage last year, and I know how much it drained me just being there and being with them through the process of what was October into November, and then really nonstop in the off season for them doing all these little odds and ends stuff. And before you know it, we are back at Cubs convention, and then we're to the White House, and then here we go. It's spring training already, and off they go. And I know I've heard a couple guys say it just really felt like we never stopped going. And if that's how they felt mentally, imagine physically how their body's feeling. Now, again, you won't hear them use that as an excuse by any means, but I do. I just think these guys are too deep, too good of hitters, and I think the arms will come along. I loved what we saw from Eddie Butler the other night. I think that's great. I think they have a tremendous arm in Mike Montgomery that right now they're just holding on to in the bullpen, but he could easily be a fifth starter right now. His stuff looks fantastic right now, and maybe that's because he wasn't overused towards the end of the year last year. You know what I mean? So I think we maybe just, like, yeah, let's pause. Let's, pump the brakes just a bit on being totally concerned about this team and where they are right now, considering we are in May still.
Kelly Kroll, Comcast Sportsnet. I think she's going to be playing with Bill Leff on Wednesday against me and Brooke. which is kind of emotional because I want to play with Kelly, but I'm trying to make this as fair of a situation as possible. Will you have any trouble coming right at me, Kelly? You know, you're a former Missouri Tiger college tennis player. Uh-oh. You've got that on the resume. So I'm intimidated myself. I mean, what have you learned about my game?
Well, I was just going to say, I haven't ever seen you play, but I mean, in warming up with you in like 10 minutes, I'll figure out what your biggest weakness is. And no, I won't have any problem coming at you. Are you kidding me? Like, how do you ask an athlete that? Like, the competitor in me will go right at you. If you're at the net, I would watch out because I doubt that I go like up the line on you. I'll probably just go right at you to see what you got, Carm.
Really? It's a little drive it right at me. Huh? I just got so...
Yeah. Why not? Mm-hmm, you're not going to take it easy on me, are you?
No, absolutely not. I my racket was like, it was just on the verge of popping a string. Normally I would play with it, but I took it in yesterday. I'm coming fresh with a nice new one. Of course, got the backup there too. Let's not play around here. But I mean, I got some fresh strings for Wednesday night, but that just scared me. So Kelly, you can blister it at me if you want to. Huh? You got that much control. Okay.
I plan on it. Yes. Okay. I absolutely plan on it just to see what you got. And I would love to couple drop shots and then lob it right over you and just, you know, see where your emotions are at that point, if you get really frustrated or not. Would you say you're patient, or do you get pretty worked up out there?
No, I mean, listen, I think patience is something that I've learned over time on the tennis court. I do like to get the point over as quick as possible, but I have learned to be a little more patient with my rec league tennis as of late, I'm getting better at that, Kelly, is what I'm trying to say.
I can tell you this: the four people on the court are all going to be very, very solid tennis players. Leff is ridiculous. Leff has spent more time playing tennis, I believe, than someone who's been on the Missouri tennis college team in tennis. And Carm has been compared to a young Martina Hingis
many times.
Kidding me?
Many
wow.
times. Yeah.
I had no idea. I was just going to ask you, Harry, to give me the like breakdown of what you thought of his game, so that I knew what was going on.
He kind of takes the attitude that it's a Borg like attitude, that he's a backboard and he will simply return your volley and wait for the opponent to make the mistake. People have thought the way to get him is to make him run, bringing the ball deep and then bringing it up, bringing him to the net, sending him back. So.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like the way he is in relationships. You know, he'll just go in any direction that the opponent sends.
Everybody calm down. Okay, Kelly, I have no weaknesses. You're not going to find anything. So let's go back to Cubs, because they probably care more about that than the tennis, although I think we have done a nice... Wednesday night, UIC Pavilion, come on out. We'll be on the court 5:15 to 6.
When there's a World Series and the mayors of the cities make some kind of fun bet, is there like a fun bet going on here?
We haven't come up with that yet.
We need to come up with something like that. That would be really, yeah. Harry, think about that for us, would you? Come up with something good.
Dan Long, executive producer Dan Long, and I will work on that. We need something clever. This has got to hurt. This has got to sting.
It does.
Well,
like, Carm, you could wear like a tennis skirt to work one day.
Ooh. That might be something that I'd be into.
Like for STL or something, you would have to wear like a tennis skirt.
Can't be worse than what he wore last night to the dance competition.
Sit on Cap's lap in a skirt on STL. That would be fun.
Do you still have that shirt? Because we could involve that somehow.
I had to give the shirt back. It was I wore a V-neck sparkly shirt for a Dancing with the Star thing last night, Kelly. It was aggressive and uncomfortable.
Oh,
but
that sounds fantastic.
Right.
Well, yeah. You got to have, there's even women, you know, you have to have a special personality to pull off like sequins and such and sparkles.
Right. I mean,
not
I'm
for everybody.
I'm getting more in touch. Right. I'm getting more in touch with my feminine side. Kyle Schwarber, is he going to lead off all season, Kelly?
Oh, well, I think we saw what Madden can do at certain times if he wants to put John Jay in that spot for a while. But yeah. I mean, Kyle's going to be your guy. I'm still with what Harry said. I don't care that it's the leadoff spot. I really don't. I think Kyle's on-base percentage is where we would want it to be, right, or where Madden would want it to be. But the average, once he starts hitting, everything's going to be fine, and people are going to be looking at this and you know, however many weeks away we are from that happening, they're all going to be okay with it then once that average gets up. So, yeah, I just think it's a matter of time for Kyle and I really thought he was there about a week ago, and he still hit some balls really hard. Yesterday, I remember seeing he, I mean, I wasn't sure Fowler was on that one yesterday. Did you guys think he saw that off the bat all that well at the very end of the game? Because I didn't. And I thought Schwarber got a, you know, put a good barrel on that. And I think it's a matter of time for him. And so I guess to answer your question, yeah, I don't think we're going away from Kyle Schwarber, the experiment leading off, quite yet.
You know, Fowler, you know, if I didn't love him so much from his Cubs time, I would have gotten really angry with him for the way he played that last, you know, yesterday, and then just catching it at the last second right in front of the wall. But how about if there's anybody that should know, you don't take a big lead off first base with Wilson Contreras behind the plate, it's Dexter Fowler. But there he is gunning him down. How much fun is it? I mean, there's so many great young guys on this team, but how much fun is it to see Wilson Contreras now getting the full season behind the plate, Kelly?
Oh, I love it, right? Well, absolutely. I hate to say it, like, for non-Cubs fans, I think you just love to see a young guy with that kind of spring to a step and just the way he plays behind there and the energy and the passion behind every single day, the way he goes out there and plays. It's just fun to watch. It's really fun. And the type of guy that he is, getting to know him throughout the last year and a half, he's extremely selfless. Like, it's really never been about him or his average. I think I asked him one time, you know, just how challenging it can be to be working at the plate as well as behind the plate right now, learning your pitchers, this and that. And he goes, I don't really care, like, what I'm doing at the plate. Offensively, you know, I want good numbers. Obviously, I want to be able to help my team. But really, for me, you know, making the pitchers look good, making everybody else look good, that's what I care most about. He really is the ultimate team guy, and, I mean, that's what you want. But it's fun. It's fun to watch him every day, and I think if there's a guy that's going to get you pumped up watching him play, right, he's the guy. I think it's been a blast to see him continue to mature out there.
Kelly Kroll, Comcast Sports, said, I actually think that Wilson may have learned some of his enthusiasm from Kelly herself, because, you know, when you watch you're very the thing that I enjoy the most is that it's clear that you love being there and love doing your job and you're having fun with it. And Wilson, that's the same thing. I mean, busting it down to first base, there's no assignment that Kelly would ever turn down. You saw her at the top of Coors Field right there in the purple roll. What is that, like, what is it, a mile up or whatever it is, right?
That's exactly a mile above sea level. I love that part about, obviously having covered the Padres for a while in El West and being at Coors Field, I got to see the field a number of times. And that, I just think that's a really cool visual to their park. You know, they made it so that you walk in, because I think a lot of people, you know, fly into Denver and they, we're a mile high now, right? It's Mile High City. But really, they let it be a very visual aspect of their park so that you know exactly how high you really need to be a mile above sea level. And I think that's a cool thing. So, yeah, I made the hike all the way up there in heels, mind you guys. So I was really huffing it and puffing it. And then I wasn't sure if I should, like, give myself at least a half inning, right, till I catch my breath. But Lynn and JD, they just said, go ahead, go get it. They loved the enthusiasm as well. They were pretty proud that I made that hike. So it was a lot of fun. It was fun to be out there.
Carm, that was awesome. Carm, you ever gone to the top of the stadium in heels?
Not in heels, Harry. Thank you very much. But
it's a good calf workout, guys.
Yeah.
Now, even though Kelly is with the Cubs and people, you know, know that she's got her, you know, her finger on the pulse of the Cubs, she also has a very tight relationship with Ricky Renteria from her San Diego days.
Sure.
So it's a rebuilding situation for Rick Hahn. But if you had to give a thumbs up, a grade to Ricky Renteria and the White Sox so far, well, what do you see?
Yeah, I definitely a thumbs up, right? I mean, I think the start that they got off to kind of surprised a lot of people. And there's a lot of young talent over there. There's no doubt about it. And just from what I know about Ricky and what I'm hearing from, you know, Sierra and Chuck at CSN, who are around those guys a lot more, the enthusiasm's there. He's getting guys to play hard for him. And at this point in a rebuild, that's kind of all you can ask, right? Go out there and give me everything you've got every day, regardless of where we are in the standings. And that, of course, we're in May. But let's say we still see that effort from these guys in August and September, the dog days, right? And you're going to be really happy with what Rick's doing over there. And just the type of guy he is, and I know he is spending, significant time individually with all of these young guys. And I love that there's no concern about a language barrier with him. He can talk to them in their, you know, native language. And I love that about Ricky. And he is always been known to be, a player's manager, a player's coach, if you will, all along the way. And I think we're seeing that really the relationships he's fostering over there. And I'm excited. I'm excited for him. This is his team, and he really gets to mold them into what he wants them to be. So he deserves that, and it's going to be fun to see how things progress on the South side, no doubt about it.
Kelly Kroll, Comcast Sports, and we're running out of time here, but I mean, I could have gone Thunder. We could have talked about her relationship with Westbrook and whether she's still rooting for Durant.
Is Blake Griffin going to land at home? What do you guys think?
That's a possibility. He's going somewhere, I think. But I don't know. I almost feel like he's going to end up in New York. But that's just
Don't make me not.
That's based on nothing.
Don't make me not like him.
Well, the Clippers have some work to do. The other thing, by the way, I'm fired up for the next episode of Beer Money. Let's get that out there. One of my favorite shows on all TV. You know, you got to love a Beer Money, right, Kelly?
Yes, tonight 7 o'clock, an all new episode. It is one of my favorite shows to do. I know the episode I did with Anthony Rizzo and David Ross was one of my all-time favorite shoots I ever did. Tonight is a lot of fun. It's just a lot of fun to get to know people. You guys know when you're out and about and you're having fun and giving away money to people if they can answer questions right. They get all pumped up for that kind of stuff. So it's a blast to work on that show with Sarah and Ryan and Luke. So we have a good time when we're out and about. CSN Beer Money is the Twitter account, and people can find out where we're going to be. I think we're at a place called Pequod's this week, actually tomorrow night. So anyone who's downtown should swing in and play with us.
Pequod's a good place.
Pequod's phenomenal.
It's a good place. So, Kelly, you know, I did not know that you were a Missouri Tiger. I was a Kansas Jayhawk, my dear. Congrats on that great Blaine Gabbert signing.
Thanks. Hey, what do you think about this year's basketball signing that they've made? Do you think that they're going to be any good next year?
Does Missouri still have a basketball program in the SEC?
That's funny. I guess it's a little premature to be throwing out those jabs, but
it's not.
You know, They did quite a lot of work this offseason to make them pretty good. But you know what, Harry? It's okay, because in my 4 years, we did beat the Jayhawks every time on the tennis court, and that was the best I could do.
Wow.
That was all I could give.
Missouri's got an outstanding tennis program, a great journalism school, great sports journalism, but geez, basketball, you going to bring that up?
M-I-Z-Z-O-U.
Well, I'm just excited about what's to come, that's all. I guess you're right. It was a bit premature, but I got to go there now because I'm excited. I want to be the first one on that bandwagon. How about that?
Yeah, well, you know, it's really tough. Out of respect for you, I won't make a joke with Missouri basketball on premature. That's all I'll say.
Kelly, we'll see you Wednesday night at the UIC Pavilion. Thanks for jumping on.
Awesome, guys. Appreciate it. And I want Harry in the Mizzou t-shirt right down on the front cheering for the tiger, tennis tiger down there. Okay, Harry?
That is, even if you got me Steve Stepanovich's actual jersey, I would not be in a Mizzou t-shirt. No, thank you.
See
you. You guys are the best.
Bye, Kelly. See ya.
Yeah.
Kelly Kroll, Comcast Sportsnet. See her at the UIC Pavilion Wednesday night, 5:15 to 6. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. 720 WGN. Is Dan Long playing Tie Your Mother Down songs?
Yeah,
I'm uncomfortable.
I was expecting, you know, Pink Floyd's Mother, Mama's Got a Squeeze Box.
Because that's so much better, right?
Yeah. Well, boy, I wasn't expecting to Tie Your Mother Down.
Well, on that note, let's bring in Jamie Dufek, who might be a mom herself. I'm not sure. She is the head recruiting coach for the next college student athlete, which... I mean, I'm a little bit past it, Harry. I can't get myself to a college on a scholarship, but if I could, I would, and I'd love to go back in time and do that. And Jamie's going to help parents right now who are listening and trying to figure out how to help their kids, and perhaps the youth of America themselves can just take the message as well. Jamie, thanks for taking time.
Thanks so much, Mark. Excited to be with you guys today.
It is our pleasure here. So, Jamie, I mean, we're in May right now. And
yes.
Let's if you're a kid who hasn't been recruited and wants to play whatever sport next year as a college freshman, what can they do right now to get themselves in front of something? Is there anything they can do?
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. So at NCSA Next College Student Athlete, We actually have worked with student athletes up until the point of the first day of classes, actually. So my recommendation, and I am currently working with some softball players that are still looking for a home, is to make sure that whatever your sport is, absolutely have some video footage available. Make sure that you've got all of your academics in check. And I would even start looking at some junior college programs right now. Those are definitely some programs with a little bit of a later recruiting timeline compared to some other options that are out there, too.
All right. So I need a cover letter and I need some tape of me playing. I'm saying if I'm a high school kid, I need a cover. I need a cover letter. I need some tape of me playing my sport. And then I'm sort of sending it out the way I would like a college graduate sends out a resume.
So kind of. Basically, nowadays, it's more all along the lines of digital. So what would really be helpful is to have that video footage available online. And
sure,
also really kind of turn that resume into more of like an athletic resume online as well. And it's also important to really make sure that you've got a quality email put together. Outside of just emailing coaches, with it being this late in the game, my recommendation also would absolutely be calling college coaches too. To get a little bit of a quicker response that way as well.
Jamie, what's your advice to a kid who, let's say he's not jiving with his head coach in whatever sport, or she for that matter, and this is not gender specific.
Yeah.
And they're thinking about, hey, I got to go play at another high school. Do you recommend something like that? If let's just say that you met with the kid and you saw that they were super talented or talented enough that they could get to, I don't know, at least a D3 school. Do you ever make the recommendation, hey, if you can afford it, go to a private school or move your family? Because I know this goes on all the time.
It does, Mark, and I think that's a really good question that you ask. The comment that I always make is the grass is not always greener on the other side. And what I mean by that is you do take a lot of gambles, unfortunately, if you are looking, you know, to kind of make that switch. So my recommendation always as I'm working with student athletes is if it's a good fit academically, first and foremost, then absolutely, you know, if you've had a conversation with the coaching staff and it seems to be a good fit, we have had student athletes that have gone with that approach before. But you need to do your research ahead of time. You know, my recommendation is never jumping right into it just because you never really have something secured at the other end of the road as well.
Jamie, you know, let's take the other route now. Mark asked you about what if you're a senior and you still haven't gotten, you know, word from a college. What if you're the parent of a, you know, an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old who's showing some promise? I mean, at what point do I start, you know, I know that there are colleges that have made, you know, scholarship offers to, you know, to kids. At what point do parents start, you know, aggressively pursuing, you know, college coaches?
Yeah, so I think it's another good point. I think it really does depend sports specific. There are more sports out there that are absolutely moving at a quicker pace, softball being one of them. My recommendation always is definitely starting to research, making sure that if you are looking to compete at the highest level possible for your sport, that you are linked up with the appropriate travel team or you're going to the right showcase events so that you can be seen by those college coaches as well. And then also taking the opportunity to possibly even schedule some campus visits, you know, if a program is really showing high interest, because you may, you know, feel like you're really jiving with the program and the coach, but you're really not going to understand if it may be a good fit until you step foot on campus as well.
Jamie, what sport would you say is the hardest to navigate as far as figuring out where you should be and how to get yourself in front of those people?
Yeah, so I would really say that I think it depends. I think all sports are equally hard. I'm biased as a former college athlete, and I think that all of us are a special breed, and I don't know that everyone really has what it takes to play at the college level. But my recommendation is always, and one thing that we do at NCSA, Next College Student Athlete, is we do help those families navigate those murky waters. We can help provide an evaluation for, you know, a son or a daughter to kind of give the parents an idea of what levels might be a good fit, you know, kind of give them a general direction. So there are opportunities, NCSA being one of them, where we actually do kind of help with that to give a little bit of an idea of what division levels or even what programs, you know, specifically to possibly target moving forward.
Kid wants one thing, parent wants another. How do you handle that, Jamie? That's got to be a thing.
It is. I think it's important that you have, you know, a conversation with everyone, you know, on kind of on the same level playing field. And I think it's just really understanding what the student athlete wants and then having the mom and dad, I guess, kind of weigh in on their, you know, frame of mind as well. My parents also probably wanted a few other things in my college career that maybe weren't as important to me. So I think it's kind of finding a happy medium, Mark, at that point in time, too.
Right. And what about the price of all this, right? I mean, to be involved with you guys, what are we talking? Yeah. What are we talking? Because some parents can afford it, some parents can't. How does that work with you guys at Next College Student Athlete?
Great question. So at NCSA, we've actually never turned away any student athlete based on finances. So we do actually have free services available. We also have premium memberships that are available as well. It's kind of a customizable option for each family compared to what they're looking for. But we have never turned a student athlete away based on their financial income.
I know there's one college in the Chicago area that has a video gaming program. Is there any hope if you've got a 12-year-old that spends the majority of his free time sitting on his butt on a beanbag playing video gaming? At what point do colleges start offering scholarships for that?
Believe it or not, that's actually a very up-and-coming major choice. I actually was working with a student-athlete a few months back. There are some programs on the East Coast, definitely some programs on the West Coast. Can't say I've dabbled too much into it. Never really was into the video gaming situation, but I think it's very up and coming. So I would say probably pretty likely.
Jeez. Oh, God. He's just
going to
want to keep.
Give you much hope.
You just found a window into an opportunity, into a career, into a richness that you never imagined, Harry. You need
See?
To you need to broaden your horizons.
Yeah, people are going to know which parent he got the whole sitting on his butt playing video games for.
If I had focused more on Galaga and Centipede back in the day, I don't know where I'd be right now, buddy.
Now you know.
Hey, Jamie, thanks for...
You'd be surprised, Harry, what major choices are out there, so I'm not surprised by video gaming nowadays.
Jamie, thanks for taking some time jumping on here, and continued success to you, and I hope if people are looking to get their kids moving forward, check out Jamie and the Next College Student Athlete. You, of course, played softball, played at Drake, and you'll help out, of course, in all sports. So it's a nice asset if you're trying to get to the next level.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys. Also, one other thing, too. I know we didn't have a chance to connect on it briefly, but we actually have partnered up with the Rivals Camp Series. So there's more information for our football players out there, is we're actually hosting a local Chicago combine coming up at Lane Tech for more info, too.
Great.
Yeah.
When's that?
Right in our backyard. It is going to be on May 27th at Lane Tech High School.
Okay, and all that information's on the website.
Yes, we can get more info for you guys specifically. You can find it at actually rivalsnewspeedcombines.sportengine.com.
You might want to say that one more time. I wasn't writing it down. Go ahead, Jamie. One more time.
No worries. It's going to be Rivals News Speed Combines dot Sport Engine, and that's going to be SPORTNGIN.
Okay.
.com.
Okay. NGIN. There we go. All right. Hey,
funny
Jamie.
Spelling.
There you go. I was like, I thought you were spelling right. Sport just for me, but then there was an actual kicker
nope.
there.
Gotcha, Mark. Sorry.
All right. Well, Jamie, we'll call you in about 2 years for my daughter to get through on debate or color guard, and we'll call you for my son in about 5 years.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it, Harry.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
There you go. All right. Jamie Dufek, as we... try to get your kids a scholarship. I didn't know it was going to be about Reggie and Lucy.
Well, no, it's not.
I think that's fine, by the way. I'm very focused on your children. I don't have kids of my own. I'm into your kids.
As far as you know of. The last question can always be a fun question, and I do know that there's one program in the area now, and in real sports did a whole thing on this. Video gaming is a major.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I need like a college to offer Springsteen as a major. Then I can go teach at a college.
Well, there's professional gamers out there now.
Yeah, but they don't go to college. They instead of college, they go live in a house somewhere, and all they do instead of studying is play video games.
Some of the most successful people out there, they never went to college.
It's true. Never, a lot of them didn't graduate high school.
Right. Follow your passion. If you're If you got that special talent.
I would say stay in high school. I would say, you know.
Sure.
Try to go to college. Go get a college degree.
But I know one kid right now.
Mm-hmm.
Won't say his name. He started a couple. He's got like two companies already. He's in high school. Head of the curve. I'm like, dude, what are you making? I'll probably make about two this year, $2,000, $200,000. And I'm like, he's in high school.
Is that the kid that makes the socks?
No.
There's a kid that makes, like, funky socks for basketball players, and he's making six figures.
Well, I don't think this is the same guy. I'm not sure who that is, so perhaps he's maybe doing that too. But this guy was more in the shoe game. Are you going to go to college? Yeah, I'm going to go to college too. I'm like, oh, hold on a second. You're making more than 99.9% of the public. Wouldn't you just, if I'm his parents there, mm-hmm. it's cool getting an education and all, but you can like pile up the dough for a while here and go to school whenever you want. If you have a business that's doing all that, I don't think you need to go to school to learn business. That's just me.
Is that kid's name Kevin Powell?
That kid's name is not Kevin Powell, but it could be. Kevin Powell has the talent to do something like that, Harry. Good point. All right, our final timeout. Brian Noonan's coming up at 6, 720 WGN. WGN, 552, Brian Noonan coming up at 6. Cubs are under 500. I'm still letting that sink in. I understand it's May 15th. It's Mother's Day. A lot of season to go. Under 500, though. I look at Albert Almora's numbers, and I know he's not in the lineup every day, but I look at his numbers, and I look at Kyle Schwarber's numbers. I think to myself, one of those looks like a leadoff guy's numbers, and the other looks like a guy who should be hitting down in the lineup. Maybe you get hot down in the lineup, you get put back up to number one. I think Kyle Schwarber's ego could handle being dropped down in the lineup, and if he gets hot, you put him back up there. That's just me. I don't think that's the reason why they're losing right now, although their offense has been less than stellar. Let's be honest.
Look, it happens. It happens that guys slump. What's happening with the Cubs right now is almost half of their lineup is slumping at once.
Can I give you – let me just read you something here, Harry. By the way – I got an article that you should read.
Yes.
And maybe give it to Reggie, your son. Video gaming, the next high school sport in your Chicago Tribune. If you think about what constitutes a sport, the contest that took place recently at Robert Morris University checked many of the boxes. Did you see this, Harry?
That is the school I refer to when I say that there's one college in Chicago that offers it as a major.
Did the competitors put in many hours of practice? Yes. Do they possess physical and mental gifts? Affirmative. Was teamwork a crucial ingredient for a success? You betcha. The only thing missing really was perspiration. Hard to break a sweat when you're sitting in a climate-controlled room, moving little more than your fingers. It was the second annual eSports High School Invitational, Harry, a video game competition that serves as an unofficial regional championship for many Chicago-area schools. Reggie could compete in that.
I can't imagine that there are fifth graders spending more time on video gaming right now. Reggie's only problem with that is that they don't play multi-video games. It's like all one game.
What does he play?
He plays a bunch of different games.
Okay.
He loves, you know, like...
Well, just like a great guy who's playing tennis and baseball and basketball,
right.
He's got to focus on one. He's got to pick his lane. Maybe it is, I can't name any of the games that they play. What is that one with the...
League of Legends?
What's the one where they kill everybody? Come on, Dan Long, you must be playing this late at night. What's that, you can play with your friends all across the country? They probably, every game like is like this nowadays. Call of Duty is what I'm thinking of.
Oh, you know, Wennington and Stacey King take Call of Duty with them on the road.
Do they really?
Yeah. Wennington will spend the day, he'll be like in, you know, Los Angeles. He'll spend the day in his hotel room playing Call of Duty.
I love when we got a Bill Wennington reference on the show.
Wennington and Stacey King are both fantastic guys.
Can I make one point now that you brought up Bill Wennington? Can I make my Michael Jordan point of the show?
Yes. Remember when they combined in New York for 57 points?
I do, with the nice pass that nobody thought he was going to throw, and then Bill with the two-handed dunk. All right. This LeBron conversation is being escalated to points that makes me uncomfortable. And a lot of people are saying that LeBron is a better defender because he's bigger than Michael. So all we're doing is just like, oh, well, he's taller, so he can guard more people. First of all, Michael guarding in the post was great. He stripped guys down there all the time.
Constantly.
Second of all, Michael Jordan in his career had over 200 steals 6 times. LeBron, 0 times. Michael Jordan in his career had over 100 blocks twice. LeBron, none. And let me make one more point on this. Yes, LeBron, in the last 4 minutes of the game, can switch on to Derrick Rose, can switch on to Steph Curry, and cause a lot of problems. The thing with Michael was he was a lunatic all the time. He didn't do it in the final 4 minutes. He did it all the time. That's why he had over 200 steals in six seasons, because he was playing D like a maniac all the time, not just occasionally, and that matters. And also, one more point. When his career started, the water was turned on, and it didn't turn off, with the exception of the 17-game season when the water was off, and he came back in March and that season. I'm not counting. But other than that, the water faucet was always running and flowing. LeBron has had a lot of missteps along the way.
Michael Jordan's the greatest basketball player ever. One time against the Timberwolves. Remember Pooh Richardson? Remember that name?
I do.
Guard out of UCLA.
Number 24.
Michael's dribbling out the time at the end of the game, and he actually sneaks his arm behind him and unties Pooh Richardson's shoes. When they used the expression, he faked that guy out of his jock. Michael Jordan could literally do that. Michael Jordan was the greatest ever. When they put Scotty on Magic Johnson in Game 2 of the NBA Finals in 91, it was over.
I can sleep tonight now. Brian Noonan's coming right up in 2 minutes, 720 WGN.